Thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you, Lord God, because you are our God. You are the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so we give you thanks. We thank you for this new year that we have embarked on. And we know that by your Holy Spirit, you'll go into this new year with us. We don't want to do this without you, without your leadership, without your guidance, and certainly without your love. So God, encourage us again by your Holy Spirit. Remind us that you promise never to leave us nor forsake us. And so, Lord God, speak now because we're listening. Speak a word for us. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Well, you know, it's good to be here. It's good to be alive. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. There's all kinds of things happening in our country, and certainly this week is going to be a hot button week. But by God's grace, we have been through it. This country, America, have seen many things. Upheaval and disagreement and conflict and coming together is not new to American history, is it? And by God's grace, we have lived through it. We have come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He has never failed us yet. Songwriter says, so for those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who follow him and serve him, we must be busy doing what, church? Praying. Busy praying that God, who is merciful and just, you know, will be with us. There'll be many protests and all kinds of things. It's been announced this week. We want to pray for peace and, you know, so that folks don't get hurt. And all of that. May God have mercy upon all of us. And so this morning, we are now beginning Ordinary Times on this Sunday, where we look again at the life of Jesus Christ. And that's why that's one of the songs we sang this morning, I Love to Tell the Stories, one of the songs from the worship book, that a recommended song, because this time, when we're in ordinary times, we call it ordinary times. You know, the life, the church as a life cycle. One Sunday, I'm going to preach on that and all the colors, and so you learn. We learn together. But, you know, we finished Epiphany, and then we went into the baptism of the Lord. And after the baptism of the Lord, he begins his what? Is there the ministry. And every year, we go to that same cycle. So today, when you see we're wearing green represents ordinary times. Last week we were in white, you know, white paramounts and so on. Baptism, Epiphany, his birth. And then we had purple, that was his, you know, being a king, royal, when he was born. So now we sing that song. It means so much, that little song we sing, because the songs are written from the word. We love to tell the story. And the songwriter says, which I didn't even think about until I heard it singing, and I was singing it myself. It says what? So that people can hear and know, and those who have heard it still want to hear it again. Right? That's what it's saying in that song. We want to tell the story for new people to hear, and those of us who have heard it want to hear it again. So we will go through ordinary times until we get to Lent. We begin, you know, Ash Wednesday in Lent. And all of this time is going to be what? Telling the stories again of his life. Right? Telling the story. Well, what a great way that the early church did all of that. And sometimes we think, as I get to what I want to preach on today, sometimes you think the old traditional churches are not really, you know, they're not preaching the word, because we don't preach the same thing in the Bible all the time and so on. But the story, we tell it through the liturgical aspect of our church. If folks just know it, We tell the stories to it, to the very colors that we change the paraments and the song that we choose and all of that, and the life of the church, the life cycle, we're telling the story of Jesus. And so here we are now in this part of the text. We begin by telling Jesus has been baptized. Last week we talked about his baptism. He's ready now. You know, John has already said, you know, I'm not even worthy. We didn't even do that text, but the whole idea, here he comes, who's the one who God has sent. He's going to be the Messiah, right? I am not even worthy to stoop down and to buckle his shoes. And then we know that after that, other things are going to happen to Jesus, and his life is going to begin. His life, his whole ministry, 3.5 years, is what we're going to get in a nutshell as we look at some of the texts, right? You know that song that says, we have heard it. It's called a song of a hymn. A hymn, I mean, of, you know, when people are accepting Christ, right? They surrender. And it says, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And thou biddest me to come, O Lamb of God, I come. Right? And that song goes on through the verses. She says, just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse thee spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Right? And she goes on, O Lamb of God. So my sermon title today is, with excitement, Look, the Lamb of God. Right? Here's a song. Out of the Word, right? Out of the Word, you know, coming out of the God's Word, right? It's just as I am, thou toyest about with many conflicts and many a doubt, fightings and fears within and without, O Lamb of God, I come. And so today we see in the text this idea of the Lamb of God that the songwriter was writing about comes out of the gospel. And do you know what something, a reminder came to me last night, and I checked it out. It's only Matthew gospel that calls Jesus Lamb of God. Only in Matthew, and there's a reason for that. Because Matthew listeners are Jewish listeners. Matthew's audience are Jews, right? And so they would understand the connection with the Lamb of God. Mark doesn't call him Lamb of God. Neither does John. Neither does Luke. But Matthew does. All tied in the history of this thing. And so we see in the text, and especially from the Message Bible, it says, the very next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and yelled out, here he is. And guess what the Message Bible says? The Message Bible, which is a really a modern kind of reading, it says, and the very next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and yelled out, here he is, God's Passover Lamb. He forgives the sins of the world. Now, our Bible says the Lamb of God. But some of the reading on the message Bible is one of them says, the Passover Lamb, God's Passover Lamb. When you read it in NRSV, which is our Bible, it says, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And somehow, one starts seeing and understanding that they have been waiting for this Lamb of God. They've been waiting for this Messiah, the Lamb of God, who's going to take away the sins of the world. And why would they be waiting? Why would they be waiting for a Lamb of God? Right, because these listeners to Matthew's text are Old Testament readers of, and they understood the whole concept and the whole idea of the lamb being slaughtered. And I'll get to that later on. So later on in this text, we see the Bible says, the next day, John was back at his post with two disciples who were watching. And he looked up and saw Jesus walking nearby and said, now it's going to be the disciples now. John had said it earlier. Here he is, God's Passover lamb. Or look, look. And the look is with an exclamation point. Look. Here he is, the Lamb of God. And these young men were waiting all their lives, not sitting, doing nothing, waiting, but they had heard the stories handed down to them that the Messiah would come, the one who was going to take the place of the old way of doing things, that there's going to be a new way of doing. Jeremiah had told them there'd be a new covenant, right? A new way of doing things. Do they know how it was going to unfold? Do they understand? No. And then the Bible says the two disciples heard him and went after Jesus. They began to follow. And Jesus looked over his shoulder and said to them, "What are you after? What do you want? What are you seeking?" The Greek says, "What are you seeking?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" They wanted to go with him because they had been waiting. And you know what, church? We have got to get the excitement again of our faith. You see, we have got to get this kind of excitement of our faith. And he replied to them, Jesus says, "Come along and see for yourself." Come and see, Jesus says. You want to know? Come and see. You see, church, here's a point for you and me. If we are truly excited about our faith, even though we've been Christians for a long time, some of you for longer than I have been, I hope I live to be your age and beyond by God's grace, but you've been Christian for a long time, and sometimes when we've been Christian for a long time or we've been coming to church, sometimes we lose a little bit of the excitement. It's human nature, because life has its ebbs and its flows and it wears on you and all of that, right? But no matter what, When we tell somebody about our church, about our Savior, there should be such conviction that then when they want to follow you, you could say, "Come and see. Come to my church and see. Come see what we're doing in the name of Jesus. Come see that we are feeding the poor. We are in the name of Jesus. Come see that the gospel is preached in my church. In the name of Jesus. Come and see that the songs are sing in the name of Jesus." You see, we don't always have to have the Bible and know every scripture and every word. You're not going to know it, those things like I do. And I'm not going to know it like some people do. My mother could recite more scriptures than I could. My mother could recite full psalms. And I've never mastered that. On a sick bed, she could recite all of 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 psalms from start to finish. Never going to do that. I know a lot of them in pieces. So there's no comparison. That was just, even when she started losing her vision, she couldn't read the Bible anymore, but she could recite those things in the hospital. That was, she spent 80-something years in the church. And she knew those things. That's not one of my gifts. I don't work as hard at it as she did. So I know some of them, but I don't know them all. But you don't have to know. We all have a couple of verses that we know by ourselves. The excitement doesn't have to be that we could speak the verses. It has to be that we know that God has been with us. Come and see. Come and see. You want a place to go worship the Lord? Come and see. Come along and see. And the Bible says they came and saw where he was living and end up staying with him for the day. And just maybe if we started showing people how wonderful our church is, not because it's wonderful, because it's a building, but because we're serving God, and that because we're doing things, and that the doors of the church are open, that souls are being saved here, that children are being taught Sunday school and learning about God, maybe they'll come and see and stay. Isn't that what we want them to do? Come and see and stay. Church, we've got to get back to that kind of excitement. You know, just kind of so we encourage ourselves in the Lord and encourage others. So these guys, when they met Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. Now, here's why that was important. What is the reason and the responsibilities? What was the responsibilities of the Passover Lamb? Remember, I said earlier that Jesus would be replacing the Passover lamb, right? What were the responsibilities of the Passover lamb? Why was there a Passover lamb that was so important to the Jewish people, the children of Israel, right? What was it? Why was it? It wasn't because they needed to eat lamb. It wasn't because they were hungry and they had to eat lamb. Number one, let me give you a couple of points in this. The Passover lamb was the animal God directed the Israelites to use as sacrifice in Egypt on the night God struck down the firstborn sons of each household. So after that plague, God told them to what? To get a lamb, right? Number two, God instructed every household of the Israelite people to select a year-old male lamb without defect, right? To get a lamb. Now, the head of the household was to slaughter the lamb, point three, at twilight, taking care that none of its bones were broken. That's why none of Jesus' bones were broken. I tell you, the text is so wonderful. When you tie it together, it's so exciting. That's why on the cross they never broke his bones, because it had been prophesied that the Passover lamb that they would use when they came out of it, the bones were, they had to be very careful that the bones of the lamb, oh glory to God, and apply some of its blood on the tops and the sides of the door frame of the house. So they were supposed to take the blood, right, and put it on the doors. Now, whether you and I understand this or not, this is what God told them. And God said that when, and God told them that when he saw the lamb's blood on the door frame of the house, he would what? Does anybody remember that? He would pass over. That when the blood of the lamb, and they prepared it exactly the way the Lord said, was on the door, and as the angel of death was going through Egypt, because Pharaoh never agreed, and the children of Israel who followed Yahweh were, you know, were going to be protected, they would put the blood on the door and the angel of death would pass over. That means none of their children would die. So that's what the Passover lamb meant. Any home without the blood of the lamb would have their firstborn son struck down that night. Whether we agree with that or not, that's what the text did. Now Jesus now would become that lamb, the Lamb of God. We see Matthew talking about that. The Lamb of God, the physical Lamb of God, the Passover lamb, that the Jewish people were told to take a physical lamb, an animal, and that animal would protect them from being killed and open up things for them, would be replaced now by Jesus Christ. That's why these Jewish young men, Andrew and Nathaniel, and those men who came out of Jewish homes, would say, "There is the Lamb of God," when John first said it. "He is the one who's going to come now, shed his blood for the forgiveness of sin." You see, I thought about this last night. Why was the disciples so surprised that Jesus would die? They should not have been, because they knew that the Passover lamb had to die. Oh, glory to God. The Passover lamb had to die for the blood to be shed so that the protection could be over the household. So Jesus' death had to happen for you and me. Look, the Lamb of God. Jesus says, "What are you looking for? What are you seeking?" He had come just to do that. He had come to change lives. I can't leave here today because I don't have my thing. I'm ready to move. And so for you and me, we don't have to look for the Lamb of God anymore. Do you understand? Because the Lamb of God has already come. We have to now be what? Witnesses to the Lamb of God. Witnesses to the people for the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God is already here. He has done what he needed to do. He has died for you and me on a cross, shed his blood, rose victorious. And as the songwriter says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All tied up in the scripture. Oh, that precious flow that makes me what? White as snow. What can forgive sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So the Passover lamb, one of his responsibilities was to do what? To give us the hope of eternal life. So we are now covered when we accept him, church, as our Lord and Savior. When we accept Jesus just as we are, as our Lord and Savior, guess what? We are covered by the blood. Just like that doorpost had the blood on it. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. And that gives us eternal life. Doesn't mean we won't have physical death, because we will die. It's appointed to man once to die, man or woman, and then the judgment. It's appointed that we will go back home. But we have eternal life because we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Do you see why the Passover lamb, why Jesus being the Lamb of God is important? We are now covered by the Lamb of God. His shed blood covers you and me, washes us from sin. When we ask for forgiveness, we are washed and cleansed. We have the mark of Christ. And Paul would tell the church at Corinth, he was thanking God. He says, I thank God in that beautiful short reading. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has given you in Christ Jesus. Right? He says he will also strengthen you to the end. That when we accept Christ, he's going to strengthen us to the end. So that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So church, we have got to start getting again excited about being washed and covered by the blood of Jesus. Many of you are here. Some of you are older. You're not probably on the street witnessing. But you can witness in your own home. To your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, say to tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the stories of Jesus. What Jesus has done for you. That you are saved. And that they too, if they are struggling in their own lives, can be saved. That there's hope in Christ. You can be a witness. This is the beginning of the first disciples who are going to then become witnesses, because they had what? Got to know the Lamb of God and his precious blood. Oh, precious blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sins. We can begin to get excited. When you get up in the morning, sometimes even with the aches and pain, you should get up with an excitement knowing that I've been washed by the blood. I'm covered under the blood of Jesus. If you were to take me now, Jesus, I am covered. If I was to be caught up to meet him now, church, I know my family heart would be broken and the church would be shocked if I was just caught up right out to meet him. But you know what? It would be okay because I've been washed by the blood of Jesus. And so are you, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And that's why we rejoice, not because we're rich, not because we're good looking, and yes, we are. Not because we have house and lands and money in the bank. Because we have eternal life with Christ. Amen.